Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 536. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of mixed martial arts, mainly UFC, but there's a bit of Bellator going on this week. We'll have a little bit of a look ahead as well to a bit of Cage Warriors as well. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, please subscribe. You can do so via iTunes. You can also do so via our website, fightdisciples.com. We're all over social media, and we've got a YouTube channel as well, which is growing nicely, and thank you very much if you have already subscribed to that YouTube channel. You're looking for Fight Disciples on the old YouTube. We apologise that this show is slightly late this week. I know that you're normally used to getting us at the start of the week. This is a hump day podcast. We've gone in the middle of the week, mainly because of our exploits over in Las Vegas following the boxing. And therefore, we didn't want to do you a disservice. Didn't want to come in and just blag it like we normally do. We wanted to actually watch a little bit of action yesterday.
I wish we blagged it. It wasn't the most entertaining card. Thank God for the girls. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Do you think that we've got an opinion that it wasn't that entertaining because we've just spent the weekend watching maybe the greatest heavyweight fight of our generation? And, of course, pre to that, we were watching some sensational action from Liverpool in the world of boxing. And therefore, watching the UFC card from start to finish yesterday was a little bit of a come down. I was expecting knockdowns in every single fight. I was, you know what I mean? That's what I wanted. I wanted multiple submission attempts. I didn't get anything. It was decision after decision after decision.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, there was an opportunity there potentially for us to swerve watching the Liverpool show live when we were in Vegas, fly up the Apex just a couple of miles away, go to this event live, and then go directly from here to the T-Mobile to watch Tyson Fury. That was on the offering, and I'm glad we didn't even entertain it for a second. I'm glad we just decided to sit in the hotel room and watch the Liverpool card, because, yeah, had I gone to the Apex, entered that bubble and all that nonsense to watch this card and not watch Liverpool live, obviously that was never a serious conversation, but had I done that, I'd have been gutted, man. I'd have been gutted because, yes, as I say, the girls turned up, the girls was kind of interesting, but there was nothing really that jumped off this card at all. And it was, I'll be honest, it was a bit of a tough watch yesterday. I had to labour through, and it's not often we get that. You know, usually with the UFC, we do crow about this all the time. You're guaranteed action, you're guaranteed fights turn up, and usually these sleeper cards, these fight night cards, these Apex events that they've become, just throw mad moments and basically breakthrough moments for fighters that aren't necessarily pay-per-view worthy just yet. But this was a tough one. It really was.
Main event. We told you last week that it was going to be a fantastic matchup of styles. Could Mackenzie Dern close the distance and get Marina Rodriguez on her back after watching Marina Rodriguez on Fight Island against Amanda Ribas? Was it this year or last year? When was it?
It was this year, wasn't it?
Bloody hell. Everything's merging into one, mate, yeah. But having watched her earlier on this year, I knew that it would be a tough ask for Mackenzie Dern because I didn't think her striking was good enough. And that kind of is the fight, really, isn't it? She needs to go away and work on that striking aspect. She's a sensational Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist who has been on a run from snapping people's necks and taking their arms and what have you. But when you come up against an elite striker like Marina Rodriguez, you need a little bit of something in your game, some offensive striking in order to be able to shut that distance, in order to be able to get your hands on somebody to take them to the mat and do what you need to do. And it just wasn't there for McKenzie. She'll go away and work on that, no doubt. But Marina Rodriguez, I'm a bit disappointed. Do you know why I'm disappointed, right? So she's put on a decent performance, but she's too nice. She's too nice on the microphone, passing the next opportunity for a title shot to Carla Esparza, which, okay, fair enough. Esparza's beaten Rodriguez, but fuck it, man. It's dog-eat-dog in this world, isn't it? Dog-eat-dog, you put on a nice little performance against Mackenzie Dern, get on the microphone and rock it. Tell him that you want the shot. Don't just say, yeah, I'm probably a little bit behind Esparza. Esparza will be doing the next fight and then maybe me. Fuck Esparza. Come on, kid. What's the matter with you? Tell him that you want it.
Especially because, listen, the strawweight title fight has been booked anyway. Rose is fighting Wiley again because there isn't a standout, even though Esparza, for me, is a standout, you know, opponent for her next. So basically what Marina's doing is saying, I'm behind the next challenger, which is in a few weeks' time. Then I'm quite happy to stand behind Carla Esparza, who's probably going to be, at best, 3 months after that. So my shot, I'm quite happy to wait another 6 months. Absolutely bonkers. And especially when you think back to that fight with Carla Esparza. She lost a split decision.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like she got battered. So why didn't she just go, listen, man, the title fight is booked.
Yeah.
It's happening in a couple of weeks' time.
Bring me
Esparza. Get me and Carla Esparza on that card. I want a rematch with her. It was a split decision. I've improved massively since. I've beaten, you know, two big girls in terms of Hebas and Mackenzie Dern, two big prospects.
Yeah.
I want that fight. You better believe that if Mackenzie Dern had managed to close the distance and get a submission on Rodriguez, she wouldn't have gone, oh, Esparza's next and I'll wait until after that. She'd have gone, listen, the title fight's booked, so get me Esparza in the final eliminator. Of course she would have. It was totally bonkers. Totally bonkers. Too nice for her own good. Surprising because she dominated Mackenzie Dern. Yeah, she probably lost one round. She could have won all of the rounds. I got exactly what I expected from Rodriguez, because she impressed us against Hebas so much on Fight Island. I knew if you try and stand and bang with her, she's a career Muay Thai fighter. You're gonna get tooled up. Mackenzie Dern, obviously, she's with Bisping's old coach now, Jason Perillo.
Yeah.
So striking has absolutely come on from where it was. But what I just found bizarre was that surely the tactics have got to be to use your striking to close the distance to allow you to pull guard, jump guard, grab hold of it in any way, shape or form. And I just thought Mackenzie Dern in this fight plodded after Rodriguez in range and tried to outstrike her when the striking has got to be to get close enough to grapple. Now, maybe it's the wrestling. Maybe she needs a Kenny Johnson. Maybe she needs a specific wrestling coach that's going to teach her that. When she does get close enough, this is what you got to do. You got to go for a double leg. You got to go for the clinch. You got to go for, you know, trips or whatever. I didn't see enough of that from Mackenzie Dern. I see Mackenzie Dern, who'd been doing a lot of stand-up training, try and reinvent herself as a stand-up fighter. She's never going to be that, not against a Marina Rodriguez, who's a career Muay Thai fighter. The striking has got to be to get close enough to take her down, to take her into your world. She never did that once. She tried to outstrike her for 5 rounds. It was bonkers. It was weird tactics, man. Very weird. And Jason Perillo usually never misses. He's a very good coach, very good coach. But for me, played into Marina Rodriguez's hands. She must have come away from that thinking, fucking happy days. Like a kickboxing match with a jiu-jitsu girl.
The only other thing that I look at on this main card, mate, is Maria Agapova. That's it, really. Yes. The rest of it was a little bit whatever. It meandered. A lot of these fights meandered along and just ticked along. Agapova obviously burst onto the scene, bit loads of hype. Then she hit a bump in the road in the UFC, didn't she? So everybody thought that she'd fallen off the wagon, but she fucking got back on it against Sabina Matsuo at the weekend. Solid performance for 10 minutes. And then when the opportunity did present itself, locked in that submission and got the job done. And that's what you got to do, man. If you're going to fly up these flyweight rankings, especially when you've got such dominant champions in this particular division, you've got to make a little bit of a statement, aren't you, if you're going to get up there and get an opportunity. And Maria Agapova most certainly did that, I thought, at the weekend.
Yeah, man, she's strong, isn't she? She, you know, she looks terrifying. You know, with all due respect to her, I wouldn't like to bump into her down the back of a dark alley. She'd knock seven kinds of shite out of you and take your pocket money. She's that kind of rough looking girl. And listen, outside the octagon, she's probably beautiful, but inside the octagon, Jesus Christ, she's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And that finish, as you say, she tooled up Mazo, who's got a fucking great chin, by the way. Jesus Christ, the chin on that girl's unreal. But it lasted. The chin lasted for 10 minutes, almost 11 minutes. But once Agyapova landed, it was just a nice little hook, wasn't it? A little check hook. And as soon as her hook landed, the Mazo went down, fell onto her knees. Fucking hell! Agyapova just pounced on her, man, like a cat on a hot tin roof, straight on her back. One rear naked choke. Literally a split second after the hook landed, it was a split second. The hook landed. Mazo goes on all fours, Agyapova pounces on her back, whoop, rear naked choke, tippity tap tap time. Unbelievable, man. The speed of it was unreal.
You know the phrase cat on a hot tin roof, yeah?
Yeah.
That's when a cat jumps off. Because
she jumped off the canvas onto her back. She pounced off the canvas, which was the hot tin roof, onto Mazo's back.
You are turning into Tyson Fury with some of the shit that you come out with, man. You know what I mean?
Good.
Game as a pebble. You know what I mean? As slippery as a fish. Love it. Yeah, that's probably the... Do you know something? If you've got to be gutted, because we've had some cards recently where there's been performance after performance after performance and people haven't got the 50K because they've been competing against some good performances on the same card, so it's been quite hard to divvy it up. All you needed to do is get a finish on this card and you were getting 50 grand, mate, because the rest of it was pretty poor, if we're honest. And this, hopefully this is what you kind of come to the Fight Disciples podcast for, because we're not salesmen. Yeah, we work on the UFC. Yes, we push this stuff on a week-by-week, day-by-day basis. But when something's not that entertaining, we'll tell you. We're not going to lie to you. We're not going to make you go back and say, oh, you've got to watch this. This was amazing. Look at this. Nah, man. A lot of this were crap. There's a decent main event, which was captivating because of the style mix-up and whether Mackenzie Dern could shut that distance and get Rodriguez on the deck. She didn't manage to do that. Rodriguez was absolutely sensational. And then you've got Agyapova. And that's it, really. I know Romanov did a decent knockout, didn't he, in the prelims, but that were it.
Well, the other one that got the bonus, that was the beauty of it. First time in history of the UFC. If you're a fan of female MMA, or if you're a girl listening to the show and you're all about the girl power, girls run the world on this card on Saturday, because all four $50,000 bonuses went to girls. Yeah. The two girls in the main event got the bonus. Yeah. Agyapova got the bonus, and Lupita Godinez, the strawweight on the prelims, she got the bonus for the first round armbar submission finish as well. So that's the first time in history the full 200K has gone to the girls. And that kind of sets it up nicely for the UFC this weekend, which is once again headlined by the girls.
Yeah, we'll do that in a bit. We'll do that in a bit because people haven't tuned in for us to talk about fights, mate. They want to know about our fucking dinner with Darren Till. That's what they want to know about.
Exactly.
While we were out in Las Vegas... Gruffalo Till, yeah. Well, we were out in Las Vegas. We reached out to old DT, see what he's up to, because he's still out there. He hasn't come home since his defeat to Derek Brunson. He's been working away at the PI training, and I'm sure you've seen little bits of Instagram popping up. He's working with various people there just to get a different look. And this is kind of what we said on the original podcast off the back of the defeat, that he just needs to freshen a few things up, maybe have a few different... sounds coming into his ears, and that's what he's doing. So fair play to him for that. But it was nice to just reach out to him and say, listen, man, don't want to do a podcast, don't want to do any filming, just want to see a friendly face. If you're, because we know he's out there on his own, if you want to see a friendly couple of friendly faces, give us a shout and we'll go out for a little bit of a laugh. Anyway, fucking laughing boy turns up, doesn't he, in his BMW 8 series, comes roaring into the fucking car park at the MGM at the Park MGM. Us two are sat there going, here he fucking is. Spot the Scouser. Spot the Scouser in Las Vegas. Everything's an SUV. Everything's a fucking big truck. He comes in, it bloody sports car. Skids on in. Tracky, cap on backwards. You all right, mate? All right, lads.
Loved it.
Pulls in and decides to take us off to a little bit of a Brazilian barbecue restaurant, by the way.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
No, actually, he didn't. You did. You did.
Thank you.
I like the way that you've done this, by the way. That just because Till once lived in Brazil, you thought to yourself, he'd like a... We'll take him to a Brazilian restaurant, make him feel at home. He's from fucking Liverpool, mate. You know what I mean? A bowl of Scouse and a couple of pints is all the lad wants. Anyway.
I know, but that's what's lacking in Las Vegas. There is no Scouse restaurant. There is no, like, you know, from Liverpool to eternity or whatever. There's nowhere we can go. So I thought the next best thing, let's get him to Texas to Brazil.
Now, bear in mind...
he loved it. Well, you loved it!
Yes, I did love it. It was great. But bear in mind, right, this. Nick was left in charge of the booking of the restaurant. So Till says, yeah, I'm up for it, lads. I'll pick you up at this time. I'm at the PI. I'll pick you up at this time. I said, right, Nick will book us summit. We'll be in for this time. As Till picks us up, we gets in the car. We're having a little bit of a catch-up. Yep. Right, which way are we going? Right, Nick's in charge. He's fucking navigating, reading the instructions and following the map on his phone. That's modern day. I get that. That's no problem whatsoever. He's pointing us all in direction, and off we go. We're down Las Vegas Boulevard. We go past the big Las Vegas sign. We're out in the middle of nowhere now. We're out in the middle of nowhere. We're on our way to LA. That's where we're on right now. Me and Till start to shit our pants a little bit, going, how far is this thing? Yeah, it's just down here, lads. Just, you know what? Do you know that typical knobhead that goes, yeah, you're just down here? Yeah, I've been here before, mate. I used to come here with Andale Silva all the time. All right, big balls. All right, yeah, just down here. So anyway, we found out about halfway down the Las Vegas Boulevard, which is on miles out now. We're miles off it. Nick confesses that, one, his maps aren't working on his phone, and two,
wasn't working. Yeah.
And two, he hasn't actually booked the restaurant. So hang on. We've just fucking been driving for 10, 15 minutes in this motor, right? We're miles away from anywhere, and one, we don't know where we're going, and two... when we get there, we don't know whether we're going to be allowed in. Anyway, you spots it, don't you? Corner your eyes. Yeah, it's just down here.
I knew
here.
Where it was. I knew the general location. I just didn't know the address.
Fucking hell. That's like saying, yeah, Manchester's up north and just setting off. It's just up here. Yeah. Just crack on. So we set
luckily,
us off.
There was a 200-foot billboard on the side of the motorway, wasn't there? Thank God, on the side of Las Vegas Boulevard. I'd said it's in here, so.
So anyway, we pulls on in. Boom. Right. We pulls on in and the place is fucking packed.
Rammed.
Me and Till are looking at this prick going, I can't believe you're not, but you've brought us out to the middle of nowhere, right? You've promised us the greatest feed of our lives. Can't get in. It's absolutely rammed. Nick's response, you speak Brazilian. You speak a bit of Portuguese. Get it? Mate, right? It's a Portuguese restaurant in Las Vegas. Do you think these fuckers don't speak English? They understand the fucking local tongue, man. Yeah, but he's a native. Get him in there. Go on, lad. Anyway, we sent you up, didn't we? We sent you up. Yeah.
We walked in, and I was like, yeah, you can speak the lingo. You'll be sound. And then I was like waiting to you know, being courteous, waiting to speak to the maitre d' at the front entrance. And I looked round.
The maitre d'. You made it sound like it's fucking a Michelin star restaurant, mate. It's a barbecue fucking steakhouse. The maitre d'. The girl on the till. Yeah, the girl on the till is what it meant.
The girl on the till. So you two then slipped into the bar. I looked across. You're sitting there drinking Coronas. I'm like, all right, sound. Look after yourselves, boys. But listen. Did I sort it or did I not sort it? I spoke to the girl. I said, listen.
Yeah, she told you.
See it.
No,
the
she
talent
didn't.
You
lying bastard.
The
right?
Talent in town.
That's not what happened. You've got in. He said, any table? She said, no. He then goes, how long's the wait? So she said, about 30 to 40 minutes. That's what he sorted. He didn't sort it. He went, he comes back and said, all right, are we ready for table? He goes, yeah, about 30 minutes, lad, yeah?
That's sorting it.
No, he's not sorting it.
Give us a chance to have a nice little catch up.
Mate, it's not sorting it. That is getting
the girl
in the
went,
queue.
Do you want to sit down now?
You got in the queue. No, she didn't. She didn't say that.
Do you want to sit down now, Mr. Pete? And I was like, you know what? I'll have a catch up with my boy first. Give me half an hour just to get lubricated. That's what I said. So
anyway, turns out.
Best table in the house.
Turns out that when we went to the bar, the fucking kid behind the bar spots Till. He's a massive UFC fan. So next thing you know, we're in there, aren't we then? We're on. Coronas are flowing, all sorts of carry on. And then obviously we sat down for what can only be explained as one of the greatest feeds I've ever had in my entire life. I don't know if anybody's been to one of these before, these Brazilian barbecue things, but literally they just keep coming to your table with meat. They just keep, Do you want some fillet steak? Do you want some chicken? Do you want some pork? Do you want some this? And it just kept going and going and going. And you had a good go, didn't you, mate?
We had a moment there. So everyone's probably heard the story about when Tyson Fury met Klitschko and was sparring with him in Germany years ago, or Austria, or whatever it was. And Klitschko and Tyson Fury both ended up in the sauna together. And the story goes that Tyson refused to get out and Klitschko refused to get out. And it became basically a fucking, you know, a trial of who's got the biggest set of balls. And the story goes that Tyson basically stayed in there longer than Klitschko. And that was how he psychologically beat up Klitschko, you know, years before they actually fought. We had a similar situation going down in Texas, the Brazil, where Adam had checked out. Adam had a good old go, the little fella, but he checked out, got too excited. He got too giddy early on, shoveling it down. But me and Till had a bit of a moment, yeah, where we were eyeballing each other across the table, and I thought, there's fucking no way you're doing me, son. Hmm. So that's why I kept going, and I kept going strong. I did the boys proud. FD in the house.
Did all right, didn't you? Yeah, you can eat you. You can eat you, mate. You put it away, don't you?
Oh, aye. Hollow legs.
But the majority of the time in that restaurant was spent watching videos of John Fury. because I found out that Till's a massive John Fury fan. He can't get enough of him, and he loves a John Fury impression. So not only were we watching videos of John Fury talking about obviously the fight that was coming up that particular weekend, but just old school stuff like cooking fucking rabbits in the woods and all that type of stuff. And we seem to get obsessed with his new Russian van that he's bought. And we were just watching videos of that, weren't we? And Till's knocking in there going, there's not a man born of his mother. Every 2 minutes, just shouting it out across this restaurant. There you go.
But he was in good spirits, man. He was in good spirits. Listen, he was in a good place.
All in all, he's grown himself a beard, right? He's gone proper fucking Rocky Ford, hasn't he? He's grown himself a beard and he's having the time of his life, basically.
It's good to
have that conversation because off the back of the defeat to Brunson, you have concerns, don't you? You think to yourself, where's he going to be at mentally? Where's he going to be at? And for him to take the decisions to stay in Las Vegas by himself, he's literally living on his own, by himself. That's what he's doing. He's not got any distractions whatsoever. He's not in his home city where his mates are or anything like that. He's taking himself away from it. He fully appreciates where he's at in his career. And he's just gone, do you know something? It's now or never. Fuck it. I'm staying out here. I'm going to get elite level sparring from people traveling in all over the world coming to the PI. I'm going to train at the PI. I'm going to get myself fit. I'm going to rebuild my knee off the injury that I had. And I'm not going to have any distractions in doing so. All he's doing, he's eating, breathing, shitting, going to the PI, and every now and again playing poker. That's it. That's all he's doing right now. And to be fair, he looked in great nick. He was in good spirits, spoke really, really well, didn't he? We had a really good laugh. I don't know when it'll be, when he's back. I don't know when it'll be. But he's in the right place to get himself mentally and physically ready for whenever that is.
Yeah, no talk of coming back to Liverpool anytime soon. But he did make it clear that Colin would still be his head coach. He had no misconceptions about that. But he was just like, listen, man, I'm where I need to be right now to get this knee sorted. So he's. It wouldn't surprise me if he moved out there full time. You know, it's obviously tough though because he can't even have his girlfriend, his wife, you know, his missus. He can't have his mates travel over because no one can get into America at the moment. He can't see his kids, so. Obviously, in that regard, it's tough for him, but I think he also realises that he let himself and he let his fans down in his last fight, and he's not prepared to, you know, cut corners or allow himself to be distracted on this journey he's on. So, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see him when he does come back, whether it'll be this year, I don't know. But when he does come back, he's obviously going to be in the best frame of mind possible.
Mm. Speaking in the best frame of mind possible... We've had a go on this podcast, haven't we? We've had a go. We've said, what are you doing, Leon? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Where's your head at, son? Why aren't you snapping the hand off this blooming opportunity? Well, fair play. Because Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal, the three-piece and a soda, from backstage to the cage, is happening on December the 11th. UFC 269. My days. My days, my days, my days. Listen, the... There was obviously something in the back of Leon's mind where he wanted it in writing, where he wanted absolutely categorically written down that if he fought Masvidal and beats Masvidal, he is next in line for a shot at Kamaru Usman. Exactly. So we've been on here. We've been saying what we've been saying. Sometimes you've got to take care of the business stuff. The business stuff has been taken care of, and we are going to get to see the fight that we've been desperate to see since UFC London, since it all kicked off backstage, man. And listen, this is a wonderful opportunity for Jorge as well. If you think about it, Jorge is coming off the back of that knockout to Usman. Is he on the other side of the mountain now? Nobody really knows. This is an opportunity for him to steal a little bit of Leon's thunder and put himself back in the mix for fighting for a title once again. It's a good fight. And a fight that is worthy of becoming some type of eliminator. I know I'm being slightly biased there because I'm a massive Jorge Masvidal fan. I'm a massive Leon Edwards fan as well. And there are other contenders in there, like Vicente Luque and Gilbert Burns. I get that. But for me, this is a fight that you would think if Jorge Masvidal can pull this off and beat Leon Edwards, then he's back in the conversation for yet another title shot. And for Leon Edwards, if he beats Jorge Masvidal, fucking hell, man. There's no other fight other than the title shot. So there you go.
Yeah, completely agree. For Leon, it is a final eliminator. For Jorge, I don't think it is.
But it gets him in the conversation, doesn't it?
Of course, puts him back in the conversation for another fight. You're absolutely right. But this is what Leon's got to do, man. You know, unfortunately for Leon, he's getting a rerun of his Nate Diaz. You know, had he not had that final minute against Nate Diaz. In fact, let's be honest, had he pulled the trigger against Nate Diaz and gone for the finish, which is incredibly risky, I know, but he needed a finish against Nate Diaz and he'd be the guy at the moment. But he didn't. And what makes it worse is the final 60 seconds of that Nate Diaz fight as well.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz came out of that with more fucking, you know, with reputation credit. Stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, than Leon Edwards, which is outrageous when you think he absolutely boxed his head off for 14 minutes. But this is it now. You know, there is no if buts or maybes.
All the absolutes.
Only absolutes, exactly, yeah. All Leon's got to do is piece him up with the three-piece and a soda. And the great thing is this 269 card, I don't think it's got a venue yet, a destination, but it's absolutely,
it says Vegas
stacked to bits.
It says Vegas.
T-Mobile.
It says Vegas on the. Well, they've not given us, like you said, they've not given us a venue yet, but it says Vegas on the release.
Yeah, well, obviously 268, 267 is in Abu Dhabi in a couple of weeks' time. 268 is the week after in New York, which we'll be at, which I can't wait for. This 269 card, though, obviously you've got this added to it now, which I guess will be the Coco main event. You've got Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier for the lightweight belt in the main event. You've got Amanda Nunes, Juliana Pena in the co-main event with the bantamweight title. You've also got Cody Garbrandt, the former champion, making his flyweight debut against Kaikira France on this card. Ryan Hall's on this card. It's absolutely stacked to the rafters as it is. It's a belter. The UFC at end of the year in fine style. So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this fight. As far as I know, it's a three-rounder. Which for me,
it is,
plays into the hand of Leon, because I think Leon can set a tempo, set more of a tempo in 15 minutes than sometimes over 25 minutes. Leon just seems to, you know, go into his shell a little bit, go a little bit too slow. I think against 15 minutes is going to suit him better against Jorge Masvidal. But as I seen Mike Brown say yesterday, you know, Mike Brown was like, Masvidal's fucking got the best fight IQ of anybody in our gym. And that's the truth, you know. So it's put up or shut up time for Leon, man. And it's a must win, let's be honest. If Leon doesn't beat Jorge Masvidal, forget about ever fighting for the title. He's got to beat him. Because he isn't flavour of the month, Adam. He isn't the most popular guy in this division. He's the guy that's got to force the UFC's hand so they cannot deny him a title shot. Look at the wins he's had already. You know, there's guys in the frame that have lost to the champion multiple times and ahead of Leon in terms of marketing power. He needs that moment. He's got to beat Masvidal. And I don't even think he needs to stop Masvidal. He's just got to beat him and look good doing it. Pressure's on Leon now. Can he do it? Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely he can do it. And this is the opportunity he's been waiting for.
But the thing is, Masvidal will fancy this. Because he will
100%.
Have seen, because Masvidal with his hands, I think he's better than Nate Diaz.
Yes.
And Nate Diaz got through. All right, Nate Diaz got through after what were it?
14 minutes.
Whatever it was.
Up. Yeah.
24 minutes. It was a 5-round fight, that.
It was a 5-round, and of course it was, yeah.
So after 24 minutes, you know what I mean, there's a bit of fatigue in there. So he got through right at the end of that particular fight. Can Masvidal get through within the allotted time that he's been given? You would fancy him. You would listen, he's going to get wet, isn't he? Leon's going to get wet in this fight, fighting someone like Masvidal. He's not going to fuck about. So
no.
He's going to have to be razor sharp. He's going to have to be right bang on it. And
he always is, though. Leon always
Yeah, of
is,
course
man.
He is. Of course Leon's... he is. But what I'm saying is that you're going to get a Masvidal this time who's coming off the back of the first ever knockout loss in his career. He is going to be fucking angry. He's going to be like, right, motherfuckers. This is it. It's do or die for Masvidal as well, man. It's
true.
You know, of course, it's do or die for Leon Edwards. He's got to come through it to get a title shot. But this is Masvidal's career on the line here. If he gets beat here, it's done. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
It's a big fight. It's a big, big fight.
The UFC, I haven't seen anything about it, but the UFC might make that a 5-rounder, you know. I think it's probably only the fact that there's two title fights already above it that are probably putting them off, and the fact that, again, you know, you've got the likes of Cody Garbrandt, Dominic Cruz, you know, all these people on the undercard, which are legit former box office stars. I think that's the only reason the UFC probably ain't going to make it a 5-rounder, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did, especially if a fight or two dropped off.
Speaking of fights dropping off, Rockhold's out of New York. We were speaking about Rockhold loads last week because we met up with a couple of lads, one of which was a really good friend of Luke Rockhold, and we're just talking in general about how good Rockhold used to be and how it's just not clicked for him of recent times. And we were looking forward to this. The Strickland fight was baffling because Strickland's a fucking lunatic, an absolute lunatic. And for Rockhold to take it, one, says a lot about his stones, and two, kind of where his confidence is at, because if you look at the actual technical abilities of both of those guys, Rockhold's a better fighter technically. It's just whether he's still got it, whether his body can hold up, and whether he's still got it between his ears.
Yeah.
So for it to fall off, I'm a little bit disappointed because I was really looking forward to it, especially New York, man. It was kind of made for a bit of a swan song moment for Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
But obviously he's out. He's out the fight, and that fight is off. Bit of a shame.
Do you know what? If I was the UFC, do you know what I'd look at? I'd look at Rockhold Till. I think that would do well for them as a main event of a fight night or high up. Well, they're both probably pay-per-view, certainly Till as well. So you're probably looking at a co-main or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they had a look at that fight down the line. Makes sense.
Look at you, matchmaking.
I know, exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. Speaking of New York, we spent some time with Ian Garry out in Vegas last week, didn't we?
We were hanging out with Ian Garry
and Layla for the first time. First time I've met Ian Garry. Obviously, I've watched them fight before, but first time I've met the kid. And listen, he's fucking massive for a welterweight. Yeah. He's a unit and a half. And
solid, you know, isn't he?
Not just that, though. He's a fucking confident kid, isn't he? You know, he's not shy in coming forward. Mate, and I like that. You've got to be like that in this game.
You know full well, right, that they're going to put me in front of him in New York for an interview. I'm shitting it. I think I'll probably get one question in. I won't get to say anything. He's a good talker, so confident, and like you say, he's fucking huge.
What he was telling us as well, obviously he's based at Sanford MMA now, over in Florida with Henry Hooft and all that. He trains with all those guys, and you know, he's telling us about Michael Chandler. He said, first week or two, he said, fucking hell, I couldn't stay on my feet. You know, you've got the likes of Brunson there and Chandler there, all these career wrestlers. But he said, listen, we're a few weeks in now and all that's changed. And, you know, he seemed like he's confident. Well, fucking hell, one thing that kid does not lack is any kind of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was obviously around the Tyson fight in Vegas. He understands the game. He understands how professional fight sports works. That's clear. You know, it's as much about schmoozing with the executives as it is about putting the hours in the gym. He's got a goal. He's got a target. You know, he's one of the few kids that is yet to make his UFC debut. Usually when you meet a fighter that's about to make the UFC debut, they feel like they're there. They're like, wham, I've done it, man. I've reached the promised land. And if psychologically they need that UFC debut to get out the way before they then go, right, okay,
I'm a UFC,
what are we
going
to do now? Let's have a little look now. But Ian Garry's not like that at all, man. You speak to this kid and he's like, yep, once I'm the superstar, I'm going to go this, I'm doing that, I'm going there, I'm going middleweight, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And you're like, fucking hell, kid.
He's got it all mapped out in his head already, and that takes... There's a certain level of, obviously, his confidence. Again, his confidence is... That's what blew me away, meeting him. I'm like, fuck me, this kid believes in himself. And that's 90% of fight sports, man. He's obviously got the talent. We've seen that. You know, Cage Warriors Gold with nobody in his fucking corner and an injury. And an injury. So we know he's got the minerals. We know he's got the talent. It's whether he's got the ambition and it's whether he's got the... It's whether he understands the game well enough to make progress. And I tell you what, just spending a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there over the course of the week in his company, I'm all in, man. I'm all in on this kid.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be... Listen, to get an opportunity to debut at Madison Square Garden, that doesn't come around that often.
No.
And obviously... It's a big card. There's a lot of eyes and a lot of big names on that card. People are going to be buzzed up for it. He comes across as the type of kid that is fully aware of that situation, and he will be wanting to steal the limelight. He'll be wanting to try and get himself a bonus in that particular night. I just hope he doesn't push it too much. End of the day, it's just going out there and do your thing, and hopefully it'll flow nicely. But he's with that new team. He's with Sam. He couldn't be in a better place, could he? He could not be in a better place with the elite level guys James that he's training with on a day-by-day basis. The likes of the Chandlers, the likes of the Brunsons, for example. So, yeah, man, he's in a great place. You've only got to be with him a couple of minutes and you're blown away by the kid's confidence. He commands the room, doesn't he? He's a young lad. And, like, he just commands the room, which is an impressive thing to be able to do. Like I say, I'm shitty doing an interview with him, thinking, fucking hell. One question, then you speak, yeah? I'll see you in 20 minutes.
proper Irishman, though, isn't he? You know, he's been in Florida, he's been in Costa Rica, he's been fucking all over these beautiful places since he left Ireland. He's been nothing but suntan and flip-flops, and the kid is off-white at best.
Yeah,
he?
Yeah. No tan whatsoever. Bless him.
Oh, dear. He's going to be fun, though. You're right, man. He's going to be a fun little journey, that guy.
A couple of other little things regarding fights that have been made, rumoured to have been made. January 22nd is looking good, man. I know there's no destination for this as of yet, but January 22nd is looking really, really good. Ngannou against Big Cyril, unifying the heavyweight division, is a fight that is heading towards that date. We were told that maybe Izzy and Robert Whittaker were heading towards that date, and we've now been told that Moreno and Figueiredo 3 is heading towards that date. Fucking hell, if all of them... I know that there's rumours that Izzy and Robert's been pushed back an extra month. But if they all did land on the same day, shit the bed, mate. That's a start to the year, isn't it? Welcome. Welcome to 2022.
Not half. And I think some of that's probably going to work out on whether, you know, the whole City Kickboxing team from New Zealand do relocate to the US or not. Because I haven't heard any more on that since they all said they were game for it, but I haven't really seen any more progress. I think some of that's going to rely on that. I think the only disappointing thing is it looks highly unlikely it's going to be Paris, just because of the way European lockdown restrictions are still at the moment. Listen, there's a long way to go. Hopefully that can change. But, you know, this is a very international heavy card. And I thought, well, if they're going to do it in Paris, it's going to look more like a London card than a US card. And at the moment, there's about 10 fights confirmed for it already. Brunson, Cannoneer and Eliminator's on there as well. And Greg Hardy's on there and a few others. One of the Nurmagomedovs is on there. So that would suggest it's going to be a US card. But listen, we never know. We never know. Hopefully, if the stars can align, we can still get Paris, because just something magical about the first fight the UFC ever doing in France would be two people with French roots challenging for
heavyweight,
defending
heavyweight,
the undisputed heavyweight championship in the world.
Be amazing.
That's a very special, special occasion, but, you know, we can only hope.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry to bring the podcast down a touch, but it seems that every time I switch on my social media, there is another person that is connected to the UFC involved in domestic violence issues. We've obviously spoken on this podcast a lot about what John Jones has been getting up to. I've just seen this morning, flicking on, that the UFC have released Luis Peña for again for what he's been getting up to away from the franchise. And obviously earlier on this week we learned of the legend Chuck Liddell and what he's been getting up to. Obviously some of those situations we can't talk about too much because they are ongoing legal situations. But that's worrying, man. Worrying that
yes,
guys that are career mixed martial artists that know the beauty of mixed martial arts and why they are mixed martial artists are now getting themselves into situations which cannot at all in any way, shape or form be condoned and are bringing other people into danger. It's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're trained killers, aren't they? Let's be honest. You know, they're hand-to-hand combat specialists. And, you know, I think the John Jones situation, you know, we can't really talk about that's going to play out in the next couple of weeks. I think his court case is October 22nd or October the 16th or something like that. So he's got his day in court coming up, and I'm sure we'll find out much more. But obviously the details we did know and what we have seen are fucking horrific. Pena, the fact that, you know, Dana White's come out after the Dana White Contender Series last night and basically gone, he's cut. We've cut him from the organisation. That is fucking clear that they know enough about that situation that guy is no longer on the roster. And then in regards to Chuck Liddell, I think that could be slightly different. I've seen a statement from Chuck Liddell who had said that unfortunately his spouse has a mental health issue, and it was actually him that was attacked. But when the police arrived, he volunteered to go to the police station to separate himself from that situation. So I don't know whether that is as cut and dry clearly as what the Pena situation is. You know, maybe we'll learn a little bit more, but it does seem like just reading that statement, and again, that's all we've got to go off at the moment. I'm certainly not trying to gloss over it, but Chuck Liddell kind of said, listen, you know, what is being recorded isn't the actual truth. The truth is very different from what you'd imagine, and we will be seeking some more help for my partner, you know, rather than vilifying her or anything like that. So I think there's a little bit more of that story to come out. But yeah, the Pena stuff is a piece of shit, clearly. That's why the UFC have just cut ties. And listen, if the same is proven with John Jones over the next few weeks, then I'm sure the UFC will follow suit there as well. So, listen.
Will they?
He's a pay-per-view star, unfortunately.
Does Pena make the money like John Jones?
Of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. So the UFC are going to have themselves a dilemma, put it that way.
Yeah, they are.
A serious dilemma.
Absolutely. Listen, on to more positive things, yeah?
Yes, please.
Paddy the Baddy's becoming a fucking superstar in America, right? Now, we all know, we've spoken about him on plenty of occasions here on this show, about his rise in Cage Warriors and how much of a buzz there is from a British fight fan point of view. He's gone over to the States, he's made his UFC debut, and the Americans are absolutely buzzing. Buzzing so much that one of the biggest independent content makers in the United States of America have signed him, their first ever athlete. Forget all the other athletes from the NBA, the NFL, NHL, whatever, forget them. The only guy that they've signed in order to be a part of the brand, Barstool Sports is who I'm referring to here, by the way. I'm sure you've watched plenty of their things on social media. Dave Portnoy and the gang there making some top stuff. They've signed Paddy the Baddy, a little kid from Liverpool, to get involved in... Mate, fucking mega money. They've signed him for mega money to be a part of their content-making team. Wow. Came from nowhere. I didn't know anything about it. It just came from nowhere. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've seen one of the first things he's doing is a watch-along of the... I think it's the Arsenal game, Liverpool versus Arsenal. And I think the Arsenal fan, correct me if I'm wrong, is like a social media influencer, TikToker kind of guy. So they're doing a watch-along kind of fucking fans... Gonzo comms type thing on that, which is, I guess that's how you know they envisage using Paddy moving forward. But it's tremendous for him, you know. And the thing with Paddy is he's waited a long time for this UFC opportunity, and when the opportunity came along, you know, everyone thought he'd missed the boat. Everyone thought, you know, well, maybe he's just taking it now because he's desperate because he's done this and had injuries and whatever else. But that kid is a lot more intelligent than he looks and sounds. I'm telling you that right now. You know, I mean, that with all respect in the world to Paddy, he's not daft, and he knew that when he made his UFC debut, he backed up his boasts. He made an absolute statement. He looked sensational,
And he looked fallible as well as, you know, the fact that he got clipped on the chin and kept going forward, that's part of the mystique, man. That's part of why people fell in love with the journey straight away. Because he's a wild man. And people love that in fight sports. And obviously the Barstools guys have jumped all over the fact that not only did he own it inside the octagon, but as you say, walking away where he was like, you know, boom, we only do absolutes. All these little sound bites are not lost on people. Certainly people that make content on social media where sound bites and memes and 60-second clips are worth, literally can be worth millions of dollars. And mate, he must be absolutely buzzing. And you, if you're a UK fight fan, you can't not, you can't be nothing but happy for him. The journey has just begun with Paddy the Baddy, and we're gonna, it's gonna be a bit like he and Gary. It's gonna be wild while it lasts.
Mm. We could do with a deal with Barstool, mate. I'll have a word with Paddy. Yeah. See if we can get us in. Hook us up with Dev, mate. Get Dev on the show. Now, congratulations to him. Big money, and I'm sure it'll be good going forward with the content that he makes. And speaking of content, obviously we were watching the boxing at the weekend. Who pops up on our little commentary feed? The old meatball, yeah? Representing the Scousers in the Echo Arena. Piss funny watching.
Awesome.
Piss funny watching her do TV, mate. It's hilarious because she's just so excited to be there, just so buzzed up. Middle of like,
that's what you want. That's what you want.
Of course you want energy. Of course you do, mate. And she's there like in the middle of, I don't know, doing some analysis on the fight and talking to Laura Woods and what have you. And then some kid.
The atmosphere is just amazing, know what I mean, Law?
Yeah. But some kid would shout something from the crowd and she'd just break off going, "Yes, lads, come on, get up there, the Scousers." I'm like, "You're on TV, mate, what are you doing? She don't give a shit, does she?"
She's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Time of her life.
When she called Laura Woods Law, that was class.
You know
that's
what I mean,
Scousers thing ever.
Yeah.
Abbreviating even small names, that's what Scousers do.
That's it, man. You got to do it.
Love it.
Anyway, good to see her doing bits on TV as well. And that kind of leads us in nicely to what's coming up this weekend, because we've got a featherweight main event, Aspen Ladd, that's right, at featherweight, taking on Norma DeMont. This was obviously Holly Holm's fight. Holly Holm ended up pulling out of this fight a week or 2 weeks ago. Aspen Ladd, if you remember, her fight fell off because she in herself missed weight a couple of weeks back. We spoke about this, and obviously on our boxing podcast, we were speaking about a very similar situation for Shannon Courtney. But Aspen Ladd, here she is. She's up at featherweight 2 weeks after missing weight and taking on Norma DeMont. An opportunity, not for retribution, but just an opportunity to get a bit of momentum going again for Aspen Ladd.
Yeah, listen, the UFC knows that she's a potential superstar, which is why she gets these, you know, incredible opportunities. I'd be a bit gutted if I was Macy Shazon, because she was supposed to be fighting here before the fight got cancelled because of the way Aspen Ladd looked on the scales. Macy did her part of the job. She turned up and she didn't get to fight. Mm. Did Macy get the call to replace Holly Holm to fight in the main event here? I would hazard a guess no. So I kind of feel a bit sorry for her. But listen, Aspen Ladd, she's going to take these opportunities when they come along. This is not a natural weight division, but then this is not a natural weight division for the UFC anyway. You know, it kind of limps along this featherweight division.
Mm.
I think this card was supposed to be headlined by Miesha Tate, actually. It was Miesha Tate's big fight, and then she got COVID. So then her and her opponent got pulled, and then Holly Holm got added against DeMont, and then Holly Holm fell off. And let's just hope this third reincarnation of this main event actually makes it past the scales this weekend and into the octagon, because, you know, it's not the strongest of cards anyway. And, you know, we need this one to play out. For me, the highlight by a country mile is our boy Danny Roberts, 2 years out of the octagon. And he's finally back, and it's been a long 2 years for him, man. The kid's been grafting like a motherfucker behind closed doors. He's had all kinds of injury issues. He obviously had a false negative for COVID, which pulled him out of a fight earlier this year, which he was absolutely devastated about, because they recorded a false positive. He was adamant it was a false positive. In fact, he paid himself for repeat PCR tests
the following day, 2 days after that, and 2 days after that, he had three PCR tests after recording a false positive, and they were all negative as well. So he was absolutely devastating to miss out. And it's hard, man, when you're a full-time prize fighter like Danny is, you know, 2 years out of the octagon. You know, he's not on John Jones money. You know, he's on tens of thousands of pounds, not hundreds of thousands of pounds. So if you think about it, spending 2 years out of the octagon is going to cripple anybody. Never mind a lad who's got two kids. So he's desperate to get back in there. And, you know, hopefully all goes well this weekend. But he has got a tough fight. Unfortunately, whenever you bump into it, it doesn't matter what the name is. All these Dagestanis can fight, you know. And never mind that, Ramazan Ameev is one of the best Dagestanis in the UFC as well. So he certainly won't be handed anything. But what we do know is that Danny always turns up in shape, always turns up 100% ready to go. And he's got a scouse team behind him as well. You know, he's been training in Liverpool for the first time in a long time. I think he made his UFC debut when after he'd signed for the Black Zillions in Florida. And then obviously he went over to Sanford MMA. But as I say, he's got a young family now, so he's been based in Liverpool for the last few years, and he felt like he didn't want to abandon the team that had helped rebuild him here in Liverpool to go back to Sanford MMA. So he's stayed here, and he's got that team with him. And so I can only wish them all well, Danny Widow and the boys who are out there with him. And it'd be great for them as a team who've helped Danny get back on his feet to record what would be a massive win for him.
Massive big win. Man. Mate, it's a big one. Like you said, there's a lot, that's the British interest this weekend, and that's the interest where I'm at. There's a couple of other nice little knocks on there. Obviously, at the top of the prelims, you got Sanchez against Silva. That'll be a decent fight. And at the bottom of the main card, Julian Marquez against Jordan Wright will be a really, really good fight. Jim Miller's on this as well, isn't he? Yeah, I've just seen his name there. Jim Miller's on this card. And you've got Andre Arlovsky in there, who's obviously in the twilight of his career. But from our point of view, the main event will be decent.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be amazing. It'll be decent. Danny Roberts is always entertaining. He's box office. Win or lose, you're going to be on the edge of your seat watching that kid fight. He's a very, very entertaining watch. Ramazan Ameev, as Nick just said, it's no joke. It's a proper knock. And wish Danny all the best this weekend, man. Should be good. Should be a good little fight. Bit of Bellator this weekend as well. We were expecting... Oh, fucking hell, I've lost... I've lost how many different fights we were supposed to be expecting this weekend. We were supposed to be getting... Was it Rumble against Nemkov originally? Is that what we were getting?
Yes, Rumble but Johnson getting, against Nemkov.
But we're getting Nemkov... Yeah, Rumble's out, but we're getting Nemkov still on the card. And we've got... I don't even know where they're at currently in the light heavyweight tournament situation. Is Corey Anderson on this still?
Yeah, Corey Anderson's fighting Bader in the other semi-final. So you've got Nemkov versus Anglikas, who's the replacement for the big guy for Rumble. And you've got Bader versus Corey Anderson in the other semi-final, which, you know, is teeing up Bader to rematch with Nemkov. Nemkov knocked out Bader to become the light heavyweight champion. Anyway, is Bader still the heavyweight champion in Bellator? I know he had two belts at one point. It's a bit weird. You've also got Benson Henderson against Brent Primus on there as well. That's the co main event. Another former UFC old boys matchup there. So Primus fight UFC, I think so. He's certainly the former Bellator. He beat Chandler, didn't he, a couple of years ago for the Bellator belt and lost it in a straight rematch. I think he fought UFC. But anyway, you know, they're the familiar names at the top of this card. It's all about this light heavyweight tournament, but to be honest,
it is.
Rumble was the exciting part about the tournament.
That's it, man. When I saw Rumble fall out of the Nemkov fight, because obviously everybody's high on Nemkov. You know, he is Fedor's love child, isn't he? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Everybody's been high on the Nemkov thing, and I've been high on the Nemkov thing, but I wanted to see somebody have a proper fight with him. And I knew that, all right, Rumble back out of retirement, but I knew that this would be a proper knock. So when his name fell off, I kind of lost a little bit of interest because... Am I that arsed about Bader against Corey Anderson? Not really. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. But I'm not that arsed about it. Which is a shame, man. Because this tournament, when it was announced, I was high on it. Because you had, obviously, Yoel in there. You had all those big names coming over from the UFC into this card. And you thought, this is good, man. Bellator's going in the right direction. It is still going in the right direction. It most certainly is. There's no doubt about that. I'm not here to slag it. I'm just a bit disappointed that Rumble's not in this fight this weekend.
Yeah, I think Anglikas has come in. I think he's a 10-1 fighter. He's had a couple of I think he's undefeated in Bellator. He's had three or four of those wins in Bellator as well, but they've all been points decisions. Listen, he's a fucking big Lithuanian motherfucker. So he's going to throw it all against Nemkov because he's got absolutely nothing to lose. But unfortunately, Bellator have got this guy in Nemkov that could be, you know, top five light heavyweight in the world. He could be one of the best guys in the world. But unfortunately, without matching him against names like Rumble, obviously he's beaten Bader. That's what they need to do. He needs these names to kind of solidify his legacy, to get people in the wider spectrum of MMA, not just Bellator fans, but UFC fans more importantly, because there's, as we know, there's a lot more of them. We need them to be going, oh my God, did you see that Nemkov starch Rumble after he starched Bader last year?
It's
that's
a gauge,
what Bellator desperately needs. Yeah,
they needed that gauge.
Where it Julius Anglicas, with all due respect, as impressive as record is, he means absolutely nothing outside of the hardcore MMA set.
Hmm. Yeah, man, that's where I'm at with MMA this week. I know that we sound pretty down on it, the MMA, but I think this is...
I think the UFC boxing was so high, wasn't it?
Yes, of course.
Give ourselves a break. Yeah.
Of course. Boxing was that sensational at the weekend just gone. It's very tough to be able to compete, but coming up over the next month or so, UFC are going to take back over. Just because of the cards that they've got lined up. Obviously, you've got your Abu Dhabi card where you've got world title fights on there, which everybody's excited about. And then the week after it, that New York card, it's just ridiculous. And we've even just been previewing a lot of the stuff that's coming up in December as well, where we're going to get Leon Edwards against Jorge Masvidal on a card which sees Dustin Poirier and Charles Oliveira going for the fucking lightweight title, man. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that we're down this week because boxing was so amazing. There was a little bit of good MMA knocking about over the weekend. There's some good stuff coming up this weekend. I guarantee that Danny Roberts will be in an entertaining fight. It will be entertaining. There's no doubt about that. But coming up over the next month or so, it's going to kick off big time for the UFC. So keep an eye on it and we'll be bringing you ever closer as we intend to do.
Yeah, man. And just before we sign off as well, good luck with Bellator. They're back in California this weekend. They've got another
Cage Warriors.
Cage Warriors, sorry, yeah. What did I say? Bellator, sorry.
Yeah.
Cage Warriors, Graham Boylan and the boys are back out in I think Graham Boylan lives in San Diego, actually. But anyway,
does he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. They're taking the Cage Warriors cage back out to San Diego. And they have a card on Sunday night, if you're interested. It's on UFC Fight Pass. They've just extended their Fight Pass deal. There's no Brits on it whatsoever because of, obviously, travel restrictions makes it impossible. It is a very American-heavy card. A couple of Brazilians on there. I think the main event is Spike Carlisle, who's that ginger guy with the braided hair that was in the UFC for a while.
Yeah.
But he's the main event against JJ Ambrose.
Lunatic.
Yeah, he was bonkers. Yeah, mad as a box of frogs. But that's the main event. If you want some MMA fix on Sunday night, Fight Pass, Cage Warriors 130 is going down in San Diego. There you go. Enjoy.
Quality. Listen, thank you very much for listening to us. We will be back next week, so make sure you subscribe to our podcast. You can do that via iTunes and you can do it via our website, fightdisciples.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well. There'll be some stuff coming your way over the next 7 days or so. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.